tattered fringe of your consciousness, flooding your awareness with bold new waves of sound, sweeping you inexorably toward grand new vistas of being.
The National Cynical Network. National Cynical Network.
Okay. Hi, folks. Ronald Redbaugh. Remember me? I used to be famous on Over the Edge and other shows. Now I sell burgers. So come on down to Ronald Redbaugh's Crackling Burger Grill. The burgers crackle and they're hot and tasty. We got burgers for your butt. So come on down. We're located on the interstate next to Howard Johnson.
Hello, hi. Jamie, sit down.
Oh, Susie, I can hardly wait till Saturday night. I got the cutest new dress.
Boy, the wheels are sure buzzing today. You think nothing ever happened around the school except what they do? We'll be hearing about that party for weeks.
Oh, you have to admit, hardly anything does happen except the things they run.
I'll be glad to get out of this school where one bunch runs everything.
What party are you talking about?
Don't tell me you haven't heard.
Bob
is giving a party Saturday night for the social set of our class.
I thought you'd be asked, Marion. We used to know
Bob
you real well, and you lived in the same street and everything.
We used to get together when we were in junior high, but I haven't seen
Bob
much lately.
Well, it's for sure that you and I won't be asked. Hey, Clara, listen, let's get some kids together Saturday night, you know, and go to a movie.
Gee, I wonder if
Bob
will ask me. Kids in that gang sure have a lot of fun. Maybe I could get into more of their doings. I bet
Bob
will ask me. After all, we used to be good friends. I wish I wasn't so shy. I never know what to talk about.
Hey, look at the time. I gotta get home.
Yike, come on.
Are you coming, Marion?
I think I'll stay and finish my Coke.
Bye, Marion.
Bye.
Ronald,
someone to see you, Mr. Ronald.
What? Oh, hold on a minute.
Hey, Waldo, turn down that loud news app. Turn it down.
What did you say?
Mr. Ronald, there's someone here to see you now, this very minute.
Who?
He says his name is Mr. Dentistry Homer, Mr. Ronald.
Well, what does he want? I already have a dentist.
He insists to be seeing you, sir. In fact, he's now pushing me aside.
Ronald!
Ronald! Ronald! Ronald! Listen to me! Listen to me! You must snap out of it!
Sir? Why are you slapping yourself?
There you are! Ronald! Listen to me! It's me, Mr. Chemistry Homer! Do you remember?
No.
Think again, Ronald. Mr. Chemistry Homer. Come on, Ronald!
Oh, there's a Mr. Chemist who comes in on Thursday nights with a mysterious male companion for drinks. He's a lot taller and wears unusual leather gear.
Okay, I didn't want to have to do that, but do you remember this?
Let me see that. It's a hat. A little green hat.
You wore it at Edgecon. Edgecon.
Huh? What? Edgecon?
Edgecon, Ronald. Remember the semi-biannual science fiction convention and all that? You covered it for UMN. No? No? Okay, what about this?
That's an empty bottle of cough syrup.
Then why does it sound like a piece of paper? Oh, sorry. I meant this!
Oh, that's a book. Let me see that, yeah.
Marge, what are those people doing over there?
Huh.
They're making
such a
racket.
Oh, that's a book about suicide. Oh, something familiar here.
Huh? It's your first show, Ronald, back when you were still a junior member of the Suicide Club. Please remember.
Oh, I feel strange.
You have lost your memories, Ronald, and...
Memories?
Memories, Ronald, and we must restore them. Here. This small tape player, which I have made...
It says Radio Shack on it.
Which I had made for me will restore most of your misting memory. Now sit down.
It's not really misting, it's just kind of damp. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be remembering, but I don't think it'd be a good idea. If I did have a previous life or history, I don't want to know about it. I'm happy now, you see. I have my burgers and my customers. You see, sir, I don't need the past. I hold my own future in my hands, and I see that it is good.
Ronald, you're delirious. Snap out of it.
No. You see, I have learned a basic truth of life.
No, Ronald,
that is
Ronald,
truly...
Ronald, sit down. Here's $10. Sit down.
Where?
Right here.
Okay.
Okay, here. On this tape, in this machine, I have compressed all of your life's work. Your old memories. Voices of people you knew and all the UMN shows that you have once done. The signal. Hopefully, it will force itself.
Ouch.
It's way into
it
your brain.
Hurts.
Carving new paths.
Too tight.
It will restore the lost patterns and the portions of your memory. At least that's the theory.
Oh, what's that? Ouch! Have you tried this before?
Yeah, sure. Several times. On people. I mean, animals.
Oh, ouch.
Small animals. Well, not actual annual animals per se. Creatures. Potato bugs.
Did it work?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
Ouch!
I think so. Oh. They seemed happy. Or... at least fairly well adjusted afterwards. There were a few problems.
Like what?
They exploded.
Ouch!
But don't worry, your head won't burst setting meaty brain pulp outwards or splattering the walls with disgusting gore. It might make your head expand a bit. But don't sweat it, no problem. Fine, yeah. Cool. Well, anyway, all I do is flip this switch.
So, with us in the studio tonight, Mr. Ronald Redball and the Fugitive. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello, good evening.
Now, what distinguishes these people from other people?
Edgecon, the best show in the world, Edgecon.
Hi there, Mother American Alicia at Sea. I'm Bill, and these people are...
I'm Ben.
Dave.
John, there's Dave. We're broadcasting live, intercept the signal with our media ship here in Florida Keys.
And, we have taken control.
Right, and I'm seeing as there's over 5,000 little islands. We're not going to give you the specific key. Let's consider this an experiment, guys. Sorry, UMN, Big Brother deal.
An experiment, really?
All right. You know what? We didn't get your thing or where you're calling from.
This is Ronald.
Yeah, I thought so. Where are you calling from, Ronald? So,
I'm calling from... I'm calling from a bus station. This is Ronald. This is Ronald. Drink me.
And now, Ronald Redball Productions Limited, in association with the Universal Media Network, brings to you the biggest event in self-serving, star-studded, super spectacular specials.
I want you to strike a match and touch it to the substance.
Oh, you mean now? Okay.
What? No, I'm not ready yet. Watch out! Ah! Ow! Ah! Oh, no! Oh, no! I'm being exploded!
What? Where is my squawk box?
Huh?
Where is my squawk box?
Your squawk box?
My squawk box.
I didn't take it. I mean,
go into deep space, Rod.
Ronald!
disappearing. Wait.
Healthy life, Professor.
And so should you.
We cannot hear the farmer. Now, is the tape picking up the farmer?
I'm sure
it's not.
You hear
it,
right? I don't hear that now.
Don't change anything.
Perfect.
Stop.
A lot of celebrity info here on celebrity roast, but that's enough from me. Now we get back to Alan Newport, home from the festivities.
No.
Watch this weekend as we get some extra good beef jerky the old-fashioned way, as we spit George Burns from mouth to anus on an aluminum spike. Charcoal grilled at 350 degrees over delicious mesquite broil for 3 hours. I smell something burning greasy.
That's right, Dean. And boy, it's gonna be great, and it's gonna make him squirm.
Oh, back the fuck.
There you go. Now, kick back as I smoke 5 more cigarettes and drink some martini. Here on the Dean Martin Celebrity Roast.
Dean, are you gonna die of cancer someday with the cigarette? Don't make with the hurt, yo.
Time for some kosher lean meat here and celebrity roasts. George Foreman and Will Chamberlain are spitting the younger Jerry Lewis right next to the older version of himself, who I believe traveled in time
somewhere.
This is a good time to tell you. This is a public service announcement. Alcoholism is a terrible, horrible disease. could lose lives and destroy families. But I've turned it into a successful and lucrative career. Sure, I've had some blackouts, like the 60s, and most of the 70s. Everybody loves their blackout sometimes.
That's right.
Oh, excuse me.
That's right.
That was half of my intestine.
I built my fortune by being a spaz.
Well, looky here. Amazingly, the younger Jerry Lewis, though spit from out the anus, can still flap his big Yiddish gun. We'll put a stop to that as Lone Green shoves a basket. Even though I've been dead for several years, don't forget to buy my celebrity roast videos. My parents need the money to pay all the alcohol bills I run up in 40 years of good, good living. Everybody makes a living.
Bing, you got a horse by you. Don't put your old boy.
Welcome to the ranch.
Which have assumed control of the American system. These forces are militarism, monopoly, and the mass media.
What do you think I'm doing here?
Television. Because of its technology and the way it must be used, can only produce autocratic political forms, hierarchies, and hopeless alienation. Like a herd of pessimists, crashing over waves of self-depression, isolation, and despair, the National Cynical Network.
This is a violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Hi, Mother.
You're late today.
I was having a cold with some of the gang.
Eric?
What time is it, Mrs. Ellsworth?
Time to go home.
Mother, I was wondering whether I could...
Bob?
...some night for a little while.
No, I'm afraid not, Marion. It's too much work and worry and money.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, son. Oh, dear. Hi, Marion. What's too much work and worry and money?
Oh, Marion has some idea about having...
Bob?
...over some night.
You don't seem to mind when Eric brings home all his friends. You feed them and you don't mind the work then.
I'd have to bake and go to a lot of trouble.
Mother, you don't understand. The kids don't expect their mothers to go to a lot of trouble. Trouble. They just want coal.
You haven't seen much of
Bob
lately, have you? I used to think you two were great pals.
I know. I seem to have gotten out of touch with
Bob
somehow.
And it seems to me they were always the ones who didn't seem quite to fit in with the others.
Mother, may I be excused? I have some homework to do.
Yes, but take your dishes to the sink and save me some work.
I hope
Bob
remembers to call. She ought to know how to talk to
Bob.
You know, Evelyn, it does seem that Marion's left out of the gang more and more lately.
We seem to get along all right without entertaining everybody in town. She's just a child.
Maybe it'd do her some good to have a little party. Nothing elaborate, but she seems awfully quiet lately.
Mal, why are you getting so excited all of a sudden about Marion's social life?
Evelyn, I didn't mean to upset you like this.
She's just a child.
And that's another thing. Why don't we have
Bob
over once in a while? Seems to me that the only time we ever entertain is
And what's got into you, Mal?
Well, I'll tell you, Evelyn.
Bob?
Evelyn, I didn't mean to upset you like this. Have some more coffee.
No, thanks, Mal. I've had enough.
Don't get me wrong. Marion's a wonderful kid. I think she studies too much. Some people don't appreciate you until they get to know you. I can remember kids like that. I just want...
Bob?
I suppose what you mean is...
No. No, Evelyn, that isn't what I mean at all. Have some more coffee.
No, thanks, Mal. I've had enough.
I know you,
Bob,
and I understand you,
Bob,
and I like
Bob,
but, well, you know you are shy and back in school.
I suppose you're right, Malcolm. To tell you the truth, I'm scared to have
Bob
you here. I never knew how to act or what to say.
Evelyn, I didn't mean to upset you like this. Have some more coffee.
No, thanks, Mal. I've had enough. It's different with boys. You give them a piece, and it's all the same to them.
Have some more coffee.
No, thanks, Mal. I've had enough. All right, Mal. The most successful people weren't always the most popular kids. Remember,
Bob,
back in the days at school? He was always on the fringe, where you say Marion is. But he's the most popular and successful man.
Yes, I remember. But somewhere along the line,
Bob
learned to get along with other people, or he wouldn't be the community leader he is today.
Maybe I could arrange a little party for her. But I'll need your help.
Have some more coffee.
No, thanks, Mal. I've had enough. I think I will have some more coffee.
Well, now all we have to worry about is whether
Bob
is going to call or not.
So many of these things that are so much a part of our lives, of our consciousness. You have to see that these are all things that came about when we invented something called the
I see people who are suffering, and I see people who are struggling, and I see people who are unhappy, and I see people who are mad, and I see people who are full of stress and tension, and I want to say to them, there's no stress in the world. The world is absolutely just the way it's supposed to be. It's perfect, just as it is. Everything that is. Everything that's ever happened to you already has. You can understand that worry, for example, is nothing more than thought. And what is there to worry about? Worry, which is a consuming thing that creates what we call stress, which is just stressful thinking. What is it? Here's a good parable for you. Everything that you worry about, give it this thought. There ain't no use worrying about the things that you don't have control over. Right? Because if you don't have control over, there's no sense in worrying about it. That makes sense, doesn't it? So I don't worry about the things I don't have control over. Now, there ain't no sense worrying about the things you have control over. Because if you have control over them, there ain't no sense in worrying about it. Now we've covered everything that it's possible to worry about. It's all thought. It's all thought.
Oh, don't panic! Don't panic!
And now, it's time for Sledgehammer.
Good morning. Just wait till the throat calls.
What message, Mr. hammer would you have used to fry Denise Crosby?
44. Or my bazooka in the trunk.
No electro rays, no negative
If you have a wrong answer, I'll shoot you. Direct center in the heart.
Yes, you must shoot all of these things.
What was Sledgehammer's middle name?
Prometheus.
He didn't have a middle name.
It was a good guess.
Well, if he did have a middle name, it should be Prometheus.
No, he had no middle name. It was Sledgehammer.
Mr. Sledgehammer? Was that your Jean-Luc Ponty album that was playing? Is that what you boys are still listening to now, Alviso? Really now, flush that jazz fusion down the toilet.
Well, I warned you about shooting.
I'm on the phone, you can't shoot me.
We have friends in your area. Yeah. You've made it through.
Ended up in bed and they were like flying on those people.
Yeah.
And you ended up in bed and they thought they was like drunk and then they had.
You know the name of that episode?
What's that? What's
the name? You know the name of that episode?
Do I know the name of it? No, the one where they were investigating.
Yes, it happened
and
what night?
And in the car that he was like the principal thing and he came to the school and he saved him from the bad guy. Remember that one too?
Now we're going into another episode.
Yeah, that was another episode. I'm talking about another episode of Flash Jam. So you ever watch that show?
Occasionally. Drunk off of the pier. It took the divers 5 minutes to pry the liquor bottle out of his hand. He had a wife and kids, but that excludes the drinking.
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
But if it's any consolation, it is one of the more peaceful ways to die. Locked in a car, clawing the doors, your lungs fill up with water. Well, I guess the first couple minutes is pretty scary, but then you die so you don't know. I can't understand how a drunken driver who drowned in a drink and never drank. It's hard to believe. It's also hard to say.
Oh, my God! Oh, God!
It's a collapse!
I thought violence was against your way of life.
And not mine.
Hey, this is the 80s.
I've read a lot of books. War and Peace, the first half.
Would you have killed Denise Crosby on the first episode or waited till the, 16th episode? Would you have?
Well, she wouldn't be stiff. She'd be stiffening up, though. It takes a little bit longer.
Sledge!
She'd be a corpse.
Would you have killed Denise Crosby on the first episode or later on?
Dr. Stone, would you come down to the station house and give our sketch artist a description of the man?
Would you have shot her?
Right now, the body would be right about there, all outlined in white chalk, including the cigarette, probably.
What was the funniest line from Sledgehammer? I can tell you my favorite line.
And Sledge, I got 12 kids. That's a lot of mouths to feed. I need all the money I can get just to put them through school. And I'm done with the 12 kids. I'm spending what's left on myself. There's a condo in Florida I want to buy. I need cable TV and a new car.
Would you have killed Denise Crosby in the first episode or later on?
I wouldn't mind at all.
Oh, it's a Fred Hammer.
Yep. Pretty soon we'll have to call
the
next
Fred Hammer.
Hello? She's dead.
Oh, Mr. Hammer, Detective Hammer and Detective Burrow.
Yeah.
And the captain, he's always affiliated.
Yeah, get on with it.
Yeah?
Maggot.
What do you say? What did you say?
What? Are you taping?
Yeah, to record the directions so I know how to get there.
Okay.
Hi, Scotty.
Yeah.
How you doing, baby?
Oh, I have an erection.
Okay. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Okay, I hear you're recording.
Yeah, just so I can remember the direction.
Okay. You have to get on 680. No, take 17.
Oh.
Take 17 south. Get off on Hamilton exit. Make a left onto Hamilton. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Okay, then go to Bascom. You hear me?
Yeah.
Then make a right onto Bascom.
You're taking the long way.
That is not the long way. What the fuck is wrong with you guys? Shut up. Okay, do you hear me so far? 17 south to Hamilton, make a left onto Hamilton, make a right onto Bascom,
yeah.
Go down to Bascom, go all the way down Bascom until you hit Kirtner, make a right onto Kirtner, okay?
Yeah.
Then make a left onto, you've been here before, you helped me break into my house, remember?
Okay.
Apartment number two.
Okay.
I suggest you park somewhere out in the court.
Okay.
Do you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Do I have to ring the name?
Yes, you have to ring the name.
Hey, how about getting us some pizza?
Did you bring pizza?
Oh, I don't have any money. Bring the checkbook.
Mother?
What is it, Marianne?
Was that the phone?
No, dear, I'll call you.
Yeah, I know I made you this jamming. Oh, God, it seemed like the best party. There was leg-breaking and, what was it, the paramedics were here, and, oh, God, and the vice squad, and, yeah, we'll send you a bill. That's what they said, we'll send you a bill. And he said, oh, no, send it to Jason. So, yeah, something about a body, but we said to send it to Jason also, but, I hope, Jason, that, like, you have, like, a lot of money for, like, funeral expenses and, like,
They killed the weatherman.
Oh, my God. Well, we'll just have to get to the weatherman's funeral. We'll get back to you on this one. We gotta go now, and, I'd say have a Merry Christmas, but, you know, it's gonna be, like, a Black Christmas now, but, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Dopey, I'm expecting a phone call. It's time you were in bed anyway.
Ah, oh, keep your shirt on. That was just my sister.
It's for you, Malcolm. Marion?
Yes, Mother?
It's time to go to bed.
Yes, Mother.
The party that Marion wants to go to so desperately is not important in itself, but it is important as a symbol. Marion was rejected today, and the experience could influence her personality and development. If she felt accepted, and therefore assured, like Rod Hunter, the whole pattern of her life would be different. If she didn't care about social life, like Peter McGibbon, she wouldn't judge her own worth by an invitation to a party. If she had an attractive personality, like Ben and her family's help, she could be a successful social climber, maybe even get into the clique. The degree of social acceptance that each teenager experiences leaves its mark on his personality pattern. Lack of social acceptance can leave emotional scars. And that's why for Mary, today's rejection is important. Time and experience will be on her side. She can do much herself. But is it not a job for parents too? What can they do? What can they do? What can they do? What can they do? What can they do?
Interestingly, I thought perhaps there was someone with you.
No, not really with someone, with you. I didn't mean as an insult. What I really meant was that with the state police here, and when I was them, I was someone, but right now I'm on my own. I mean, I'm not with a lot of people, just you.
Well, I wouldn't like to disturb you. I'll leave you alone if you prefer it.
No, you don't really have to go at all. I like it, you know, because I don't know what it is. I sort of get the impression that you want to leave, but you don't like to leave because maybe you think, I think it looks suspicious, me being a policeman and everything.
Oh, yes.
You don't have to think that because I haven't really got a suspicious mind at all. I look suspicious myself. A lot of people think I'm suspicious, especially when I stand around on street corners. One of our own boys picked me up the other week. He thought I looked a bit too suspicious standing on the street corner and everything. Tell me something. I couldn't help noticing when you checked in tonight. It's part of my job. I notice human individuals, and I noticed your face. I said to myself when I saw you, I said, that's a guy with the most normal-looking face I ever saw in my life.
That's very nice of you to say,
yeah? Not a bit, not a bit. It's great to see a normal face, because I'm a normal guy. It'd be great for two normal guys like us to get together and talk about world events, you know, in a normal sort of way.
There's nothing I would like better than that, but I don't have much time.
Oh, it's a pity, because may I say one other thing to you? It was really on my mind. I've been thinking about it quite a lot. I noticed when you was checking in, you had a lovely, pretty little girl with you. She was really lovely. As a matter of fact, she wasn't so little, kind of thinking that she was fairly tall. Well, I mean, taller than little, you know what I mean? But she was really lovely. I wish I had a lovely, pretty tall, lovely little girl like that. I mean,
well, that's just my daughter.
Your daughter? Gee, it's great to have a lovely, tall, pretty, little, small daughter like that. Gee, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. I get sort of carried away, you know, being so normal and everything. Tell me, when you were standing there at the desk checking in with the night manager, Mr. George Swine, who I happen to know is a personal friend of mine, I was wondering if he picked you up with sort of good accommodation here.
Yes, they were extremely cooperative.
You're quite sure about that? Because, I mean, I could really easily have a word with George Schwein. I mean, he's a really normal, nice sort of guy, and I'm only going to have a normal word in his ear, and you'd be surprised what things could happen from a thing like that. I mean, he'd probably go and turn some of the troopers out so you could have a lovely room, bridal suite for you and your lovely little girl.
No, please, I don't want you to take any trouble on my account. We're perfectly comfortable.
But he should do it. It's his job to fix you up with something nice. I mean, you know, he gets paid for doing that thing. And I mean, when he sees a guy like you coming in all normal and everything with a lovely little girl beside him, he should say to himself, gee, I got to give that guy a lovely, sort of comfortable, foamy bed to sleep in. I mean, you know, I just don't like to hear things like that happening because I could go over and really take a swipe at him for not giving you a lovely, comfortable, sleepy movie star bed. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, what does he cut you on the floor or something?
Well, the little girl is probably asleep already in the bed. Yeah, I don't know why we're discussing this.
Listen, why don't you let me have a look at the accommodation that you have now and really take it in for a second, then I can come down and have a word with George Swine. It would be so simple.
No, you really shouldn't worry about it.
You know, you can ask me.
I think that I should go upstairs.
You're going because you maybe think that me being a policeman and everything, I think you're sort of suspicious. I don't think that at all. I think you're really normal and everything. I don't have to go because of that.
No, it's been very nice talking to you.
Yeah, listen, before you go, I was wondering whether maybe in the morning, you know, me being lonely and normal and everything.
No, we should like have to get up for
breakfast with me, perhaps. Would you like that?
Sure.
I can arrange that with George Swain, the night manager. You could have it laid out already.
Thank you so much.
Good. You have a most interesting face tonight.
This person brought in a string of Christmas tree lights. And the lights were different colors, and they would flash and blink on and off randomly. The whole thing was just blinking on and off. But the person didn't lay them out in any organized order. He just had them clumped over his arm. It was this big cluster of this string of lights. And we in the audience looked at it for a while. Not much happened. It was just random firing. And then he turned on some music. And first he put on a piece by Beethoven. And within a very short period of time, within a minute, the music had this magical effect. It organized the lights, and they started forming a pattern. In fact, they were in complete concordance with the music. They formed the pattern of blinking that was in the same tempo as the music and went with the nuances of the music. It was sort of amazing. But then he switched off that music, and he put on a piece by John Coltrane, a piece of modern jazz, my favorite. And within another short period of time, in less than a minute, the lights became reorganized again and started going to the tempo of the new music and showing the nuances of the new music. Isn't that amazing how sound can actually reorganize light? Actually, it didn't happen, as you could realize. It wasn't that anything changed in the lights. It was inside. It was in our minds. And what happened for me happened for everybody else there, too. We reorganized our thinking. Because when we saw this jumbled mess, this random pattern, I would argue we don't like that. We don't like confusion as humans. And even when we're not trying to, even when we're unconscious of it, we tend to organize our world. And that's what we did. Our minds did it automatically, looking for patterns, constantly looking for patterns. So that's handy. Since we have that tendency anyway, it makes sense that we're going to develop theories. Now, I want to give you a test at this point. You're thinking, oh, darn, I didn't want to have a test on the first day of class. But here it is.
You're paying us too much attention to that road.
Sucking leech.
Why'd you believe me?
No, it's because you're rude.
Where am I?
Stupid.
Flesh.
Yo, hey, that was nothing. Yo, hey, that was my friend.
And, he wore thick glasses.
Who are you people?
Up until now, all I've been feeling is a disembodied voice. Nothing to shoot at, nothing to hit, nothing to kill.
Your sledgehammer.
Haven't I seen you on oatmeal boxes?
Now I got a face.
Hey,
I'm gonna pick up every wackle that looks like that.
Oh, you're yuppies, right?
Sledge, there have got to be 100 guys in there.
What are all going to do?
Sledgehammer, yo.
I like to sing it a song.
Hey,
this is Peter Gabriel. I got an interview
with Peter Gabriel. Hey, you yogurt sucking leech.
Hey. Well, I'm Inspector Sledgehammer, and this be my gun.
We do know
that's my amigo, Brandy and Coke.
Come on, we better get him right away.
In our house.
about a 518 on 3?
What's a 518?
I shoot things like that. Especially early in the morning. In the face of the western exposure, I don't like the sun waking me up in the morning.
Well, to tell you the truth, in all the excitement, I kind of lost track myself.
Yeah, so did I.
But seeing that this is a 44 Magnum...
Seeing that's another show, that's another movie.
It can blow your head clean off. You can ask yourself a question.
18 on 3.
Do I feel lucky?
Major 518.
A phone call.
Do you, punk? Huh?
Well, do you, punk?
I thought you were protecting the doctor. I guess the only thing you shoot off is your
mouth. What's
that? Do you read New American Magazine?
No, I'm gonna give it
away. What's up, 518?
Look at New American Magazine.
It's all right. He needed sleep.
How many times are you going to tell me that? Miller G?
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
You're mean and you're aggressive and you don't show your love. You don't have enough love. We don't have enough love to go through all this, Gary.
Is that what you called me for, to shower me with confidence?
That stinking cop still alive.
There was no bags. You were yelling at me.
I'm asking you to help.
You were not asked.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
You're an idiot. You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor? What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor? What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
No, I knew it too, because I saw everything.
And what's your name?
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
And what's your name?
Long and healthy life, Professor.
The best way to keep healthy is to...
I see. And what's your name? And what's your name?
They are chronic.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
Laborers of the
yeah. I love cabbage and cheese and corn and...
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor? What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor? What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor? What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
I'm not getting a shock of 75 volts.
I'm not wearing any pants.
This may seem funny to you now, but you'll find as you get older that breasts are very popular.
Oy,
how much does this cost?
Boys and men like them a lot.
I like big breasts.
Scientific, pushy, and in love with its machines.
Yet, at the same time, to kind of grab you.
Miss?
What's the secret of a long and healthy life,
Will this
Professor?
Storm delay our flight?
Hello, I am Professor Stephen J. Hawking, and I am a breastaholic.
In a society which would make God totally irrelevant.
Right.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
He wants to kick your ass. Guess what, scumbag? I'm gonna let him.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
I do the ass kicking around here.
He wants to kick your ass.
I do the ass kicking around here.
He wants to kick your ass.
I do the ass kicking around here.
To you now, but you'll find as you get older that breasts are very popular. Boys and men like them a lot, and so should you.
What's the secret of a long and healthy life, Professor?
Breasts.
Please bring the bell.
What knockers?
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
People whine. You people, you ignoramuses that are listening right now, people whine about nuclear bombs and pollution and corruption as if their whining about it is going to change anything. People moan in the noblest ways about worldwide peace while they ignore the fact that world peace can only be a result of individualistic peace. You can't force peace. You can only allow it. And you're not allowing it if you're repressing violence. You're not allowing it if you're insisting that things change their shape and form. In fact, you're creating violence by resisting the here and now. Society is a dog. It resists the here and now by enforcing desegregation, by enforcing people to take part in things that they don't want to. Screw the better interests of society. A so-called better society is not going to come from repression and denial of individual rights. Why do you think we are where we are? Accept yourself, listener. Look inside yourself and accept what you see. Look at yourself without labels. Look at the generic you. Learn to unlearn all the idiotic ways you've been taught. Learn to be honest with yourselves. Violence comes from resistance and denial of the here and now, of the way things are right this moment. The illusion, the monster, the big pipe dream has convinced you into believing that there is such a thing as normal. It pretends that we are not different, which is idealistic rhino poop. People only think that they have problems through an act of comparison, when clearly their only problem is in paying too much attention to other people who have a problem accepting them for the way they are. You are always and forever being yourself. Even at your most painful moments, allow yourself to live without worry of being judged. Speak out, man! Speak loud! Speak up when you feel like it. If something bothers you or someone is treating you in a way you don't like, speak up! Because the negative repercussions that may arise, the negative repercussions that may arise out of you speaking your mind are nothing compared to the pain you feel for not speaking up. Scram the jam on this bite your tongue crap, because it doesn't matter what attitude you utilize, your natural character makeup, your personality will always be subjected to irritation, dislike, and people who go against your grain, like art bags, man. So what? They go against your grain. Well, you don't have to change it. You don't have to love them in the sense that you have to sit around with them. Except that you don't like them, okay? Move with it. Except that they are who they are. They can't help who they are. They are who they are. They don't need to help who they are. So dig it. With an aware and accepting attitude, these things will appear not to happen at all. Neither will the upset of your vibrations last very long. Certainly not as long as it takes for your increased awareness. So let off steam. Don't take no jive. Unless you think there's some greater payoff in keeping quiet. The longer you repress yourself in the name of proper behavior, the greater the chances that you're going to get it. Ill, man! Probably get cancer being all stressed up. Who the hell wants to live to be 75 in pain and misery with a paid-off house and a savings account? Just be your damn self. It's much easier. Much, much easier, man. Just to be yourself. Don't waste your time and energy paying attention to the idiots. The mob rules, man, when you listen to them.
Hi, folks. Ronald Redball from Ronald's Cracklin' Burgers. Where my body is. If you don't like our food, I'll eat a bug.
Ah!
Ronald. Ronald? Ronald. Are you okay?
Yes? Yes. Wow. Oh, wow.
You remember me. Come on, Ronald. Think.
Feathers!
Ronald!
Ronald! Mayonnaise!
Ronald!
Robert Vaughn!
Come on. Clear up.
Nuclear cheese, narcoleptic hamsters, salad.
Ronald.
Sand salad. Yes,
Ronald,
I get it.
I want you to remember.
My God, I can remember everything. Trees, my old house, Volvos, lots of them. And swings.
Ronald.
Mr. Friday, receptacle programming, satellites, my fish, tape.
Ronald, that's just your life. What about me? Do you remember me?
Yes, yes. You went away, far away. And you never come.
Yes, I went away. 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 I went away.
Just couldn't take it anymore. This is better. So much better. Hey! You wanted me. And here I am. It's hard, I guess. If you figure I'm experiencing the reason, I suppose. Except, you would do this. Simply, I guess that's okay, but how? Here it is. Okay. Enough of that. I was really running on fumes, I guess. I get dependent. What other people think. What's his name? He's becoming a butterfly. I was mesmerized. I sometimes regret all that nonsense, floundering in this holding pattern. We're just here to play. I can see the bliss in what you surrender to, not knowing, stop knowing, back in the Garden of Eden, for a short while anyway.